entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. You're listening on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill across from the Trop. We're at 7:10 tonight. Ben Botham is our Tampa Bay Rays, which unfortunately right now on a 6-game losing streak. We talked about it at the opening of the show. Not time to panic, but still. Need to get a win out of the next two before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to win any of them, I think we should win the last game if I had to pick. But, I mean, in all reality, I'd like to take the last two of them, knock back the Braves a little bit, who now have the best record in professional baseball. So
exactly. Did I say Phillies earlier?
No, I did not. No, I don't think so. I think you were good. I think you stuck with the Braves.
Well, talk about a tough stretch. The hottest team, the Atlanta Braves in the MLB, and the second hottest team, of course, the Philadelphia Phillies, to wind down before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly is tough. I mean, the Braves, they've won 26 of their past 30 games to claim the best record in baseball, whereas the Rays, we've lost 9 of our past 14, 12 of our past 18, and 15 of our last 25. So
it's a good thing we had that incredible start, man.
It certainly is. I mean, and like I was saying earlier, I mean, our team is matching the records of the 2008 team, the 2010 team, and the 2021 team. So it's not a bad sign. We don't need to pull the emergency brake and freak out. Do we need to make moves? Yes. Do we need to pick up guys in this little lull? Yeah, before time runs out, we need to do something. And I don't know if pitching's the answer or if it brings in somebody that's willing to hit the ball a little bit more, because we are on a lull hitting-wise, and I'm always nervous about our pitching staff because it seems like nobody can be healthy.
Well, we have if we put together a healthy staff that exists, obviously, we're one of the best staffs in all of baseball.
I mean, look at how we start. I mean, we got guys Glass now, Sugar Shane McClanahan.
11-1.
And Rasmussen. At the start of the season, you look at those guys, and you wonder how are we gonna lose? And the way we lose is by having injuries, having guys that can't go deep. Glasnow went 88 pitches, and then he had his cramping in his hands and in his
leg. It wasn't his throwing hand though, folks. That's good news.
And they also said it's not based on hydration.
Which that kind of blew me away.
Yeah, I'm very perplexed by it.
I bet that's what they'll determine it is. Of course, we're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, Coca-Cola Beverages. All of our Rowdy's conversations are brought to you by our partners from Coca-Cola and Body Armor. And this is Rowdy's conversation with one of the pioneers. He's been on several times. He's kind enough to share his memories. Of course, at one time, he was with Crystal Palace, the oldest club, he told me yesterday, in the world of soccer. He is Mark Lindsay, and he takes some time to talk about this Neil Collins move that's going to take place tonight as the Rowdies take on Oakland, and it will be Neil's last hurrah at the helm of the Tampa Bay Rowdies. What's going on, my friend?
Hey, Mike, how you doing? And everybody else that's there with you.
Well, we're doing well, and you said you're going to the game tonight, so you'll see that tribute to Neil Collins. And were you kind of stunned by the announcement early in the midweek?
Yeah, I must say, you know, it's kind of a weird, you know, move. I mean, I can see going back to the UK because it's you know, between seasons at the moment, so it's good in terms of going back to England. Obviously, it's kind of a strange time for us over here, you know, getting to the business end of the season over here. So hopefully the club has got itself well positioned and can continue on, you know, and get some good results.
Let's for our audience that have not heard you before. You've been on several times. That's been fortunate. By the way, just had your buddy Barry Smith on right before you. And share your your journey, your route to get to Tampa and played for the Rowdies and leaving your homeland and the career you had. And then I want to ask, you know, what it would have been like had you reversed and gone back kind of like Neil is right now.
Okay. Well, so basically growing up in London, as a kid, it was everything you wanted to do was just play number one for a big team. And also play for your country. That was huge to play for England. The problem is that there's a lot of people in the way. There's a huge amount of clubs, and there's also thousands of players, professional players that are out there. Very, very difficult. In the UK, when I was growing up, and as you know, my coming, I might sound English and white, but I'm actually English and black. And I was the first black player to play for Crystal Palace back in the 70s. And prior to coming to the Rowdies, the year before, I went to South Africa and played in what was very similar to our baseball Negro League. So it was like it was during apartheid in South Africa, and I played for a black team in a black Wow. league. And it was kind of interesting to do that. You know, it only lasted for a few weeks. And I went back to Crystal Palace again. But it was, I just wanted to get out there and just see the world. So the next season, 1975, I was offered the opportunity to come to play for an inaugural team called the Tampa Bay Rowdies in 1975. And, you know, trust me, Mark, you're going to enjoy it. There's lots of nice guys and it's going to be fun. Just come out and enjoy it. So I signed up for 4 months and came out in 1975. And actually, it's probably the best year of my career. You know, we won the championship, the North American Soccer League at the time. We went to San Jose and we beat Portland 2-0 in the final. And Pelé actually arrived in a helicopter on the middle of the field, made his presence felt because he was just signed in the North American Soccer League to start playing in 1976. And he played in our league for 3 seasons, I believe. And I had the good fortune of being able to play against him and several other great, memorable international players at the time. Beckenbauer from Germany, Johan Cruyff from Holland, and it just went on and on and on. Some fantastic players at the time. Unfortunately, for the North American Soccer League and the development of soccer at that time, back in the late 70s, early 80s, the actual infrastructure of the league wasn't like it is now with the MLS. And I think we had some owners that wanted to pick up a quick buck. It didn't work out that way, so they pulled the plug, took their losses, and got out. So the North American Soccer League folded very rapidly. Fortunately for me at the time, I was at the back end of my career. So, you know, I kind of came to America when I was 20, and the league folded when I was basically 30. So, you know, I had a really good run here in America, met some great people and still have some wonderful friends around the country and around the world. And it was the best decision I ever made was coming to America.
And your lovely bride as well.
Well, we were dating at the time and, you know, I said, so I'm going to go to America in the summer. And she said, that's funny, I'm coming to America too. So her brother graduated out of high school up in Rhode Island. And I came down here, and then after she went to his graduation, she came down and joined me, and a year later, we get married. And still together, Mike, still together.
Bravo. Bravo, my man. Hey, so when Pelé landed in a helicopter, I mean, you're talking about showmanship, but that'd be kind of like Messi in today's world, taking a chopper and landing in it right in the middle of – I bet people are just – starstruck and overwhelmed, and Pelé, of course, even if you weren't in a soccer fan, he was a household name across the world, and we just lost him last year, and I had you on the show to talk about that, but you had to been just starstruck as a young man when that happened.
Well, you know, he came to our banquet, which was, you know, the night before the game, so it was like a Friday night. And as I said before, we were in San Jose, and obviously 3 hours difference from here to San Jose, but then again, another 5 hours time difference from here over to England. And he comes to our banquet, and I just couldn't believe it, so I made my way out, and I called my dad. little did I remember, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning when I called him, and I said, Dad, you're not going to believe this. I just met Pelé. And he went like, you know what time it is, don't you?
You think you were drinking?
But it was wonderful meeting him, and he was I mean, off the charts in terms of, like, you know, diplomacy. He was the best person to put into that position. When he came to America, he was like the glue that brought everything together. I mean, he was just unbelievable. He talked to kids. I mean, just had plenty of time for everybody, signed autographs everywhere he went, always smiling, fantastic player, just a great player on the field. There were times when he felt that he was getting hammered too much, you know, physically, but he had a good response to that. I mean, he was a strong, very strong, powerful player. And needless to say, in my opinion, he was the best player to ever play.
You know, when I look at his career, and I read several articles, he reminded me, and I'm a huge fan of the Sweet Science Boxing, was involved in boxing for 30 some years. He reminded me of Muhammad Ali on the world stage, because everybody knew Pele, everybody knew Muhammad and loved him, and they both embraced it and gave back to the people. And it wasn't typically a conversation of sport. It was about life and perseverance. And you've done the same thing with your trip to South Africa and the time frame that you, as a young black man, participated in the sport. You've got your own stories, my friend, I'm certain.
Well, you know, the some of the wonderful things that happened and continue to happen is, you know, great athletes from different sports get to meet each other. And I remember you talked about Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali and Pele got together in New York, I believe. And, you know, there's some wonderful pictures and great conversations that went on between the two of them. And, you know, although they came from different worlds, the idea was to reach out to people. And that's what's happening here in this country, Mike. I think we kind of touched on this last time I was on your show. And I was saying that, you know, it's almost like, you know, you have to pay to play, to get recognized. And many of my friends around the country have been trying to put together, at least conceptually anyway, a program that would go into the unprivileged area or underprivileged areas and try and pluck out some top quality players from those positions. Because at the moment, to get recognized, you have to pay thousands of dollars, travel all around the country, different cities, stay overnight in hotels and things like that. I mean, these kids' families, they just cannot come up with the money to be able to get recognized. So what we've been trying to do is to try and find legitimately and legally, how can you put together a program that would go and pluck out these great players from these underprivileged areas and get them recognized, you know, because they're out there. There's lots and lots and lots. And as you know, with your past and other people that have come on the show, a lot of great players come from underprivileged areas. It's just a question of being able to find them and be able to transport them, coach them, be able to bring them back to where they came from and drop them off without getting in trouble. But, you know, it's a difficult thing to do.
You know, bravo for your thought process there. Well, we just got done having a conversation with Jim Hart and several coaches of national prominence out of St. Louis that were talking, you know, basically Champions League High School, which we have here and I've gotten involved in, as well as on a national stage. And you're 1,000%. And these schools that these kids are going to are all academies, private, you know, Catholic schools. And I know the same thing. I had this conversation back in the day with my own sons, and as we were playing travel ball, and they would get a little full of themselves winning in Kansas City or St. Louis. I'm sorry, in Iowa. And then I'd take them to St. Louis or Kansas City, and we'd play in urban tournaments, and they'd just get it handed to them. And that was always a wake-up call. I said, this is your wake-up call, that there's great athletes that can't afford to playing these travel teams. They don't have sponsors. And I think basketball has got their arms around that. But it's great to hear that, because predominantly right now, you're right. The kids that are playing soccer and going up are kids of means, if you will, or people have found them and taken them under their wing. But unfortunately, that's the reality of it. And hopefully you can get some corporate support. Corporate support would be great. And a player behind your cause, I think, would certainly of fame would assist as well.
Yeah, Mike Connell. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but Mike Connell played pretty much most of the original Rowdies campaign. So he played for the Rowdies for about 10 seasons, and he actually has a soccer program here in Lutz. And he and I have worked together over the years. We've known each other forever, and we often have this conversation about how can you get these kids out of these tough places, or go down to these tough places and teach them and work with them down there. Because I know for sure, and all of us ex-pro athletes, I mean, you get great athletes, you get great skill sets, but you've got to be able to have the right mental attitude. And some of these kids, you know, from also foreign countries, they look at this situation and they go, this is my way out. You know, I can get out of this impoverished area.
It's your ticket.
And maybe I could live like some of these other guys, you know, in a four-bedroom house, a five-bedroom house, you know, dare I ever say a six-bedroom house, that would be unbelievable. You know, they just don't have it gifted to them. And I think I had a very interesting situation just like yours. I took a team down to Fort Lauderdale. And my team, playing here in Tampa, was off the charts. I mean, you know, but the parents pull up in the Maseratis, they pull up in the BMWs and Land Rovers and all this stuff. We go down to Fort Lauderdale and we play against these guys. I mean, and they were ruthless. I mean, I'm talking about aggressive, in your face, didn't want to shake hands with you. I mean, just like hard nuts. And that's basically what the program is like in reality. When you start getting to the pro areas, it's mental attitude. You know, I mean, you've got to have talent, but it's mental attitude. And this is where I think a lot of times, you know, when I say pay to play, the Richie Rich kids, it's very, very difficult to insert that into these kids when it gets into the nuts and bolts. And that's where I think that the world-class players in most sports, it's the mental attitude of where you came from and where you're at and how can I sustain that going forward.
Yeah, you just spurred a memory. I took my Iowa team down to St. Louis one summer, and hot as hell. And out of that seven players, two of them ended up playing Division One. But we were all Caucasian, and the high school coaches knew what I was doing, and I took them down, and it was an all black tournament. And we absolutely got it handed to us. And the coaches came up and shook my hand and said, we respect you for bringing these kids down here. The parents of my players wanted to kill me. And I said, do you want to win a state championship? Or do you want to go around and just beat up all these farm teams in Iowa and not win a state championship? And I ended up winning out, and they won two state championships. But I learned that. It wasn't anything I came up with. I learned that from Division One coaches that were good friends of mine. They said, take these kids into the urban communities. And as you said, they were ruthless. They wouldn't shake hands. They were in their face. And I felt bad at the end of the games. I'd take them out for dinner. But I knew that this was work in progress, right?
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I mean, there's some wonderful athletes that, you know, that come from the pay-to-play programs. But I just feel that this country, particularly in the United States, with the blend of people from different parts of the world, it's a great opportunity to try and find some, you know, Hispanic people and, you know, people from all over the world. You know, it's a great opportunity. 330 million people, you know, in this country, we should be competing for world championships. You know, I mean, I remember when I first came here, we talked a little bit about, you know, St. Pete. you know, and the way that St. Petersburg has changed in terms of its affection for the sport and where has it come and all this stuff, you know. When I first came here, Mike, there wasn't a soccer field to be found. You couldn't go anywhere in Tampa Bay area and find a soccer field.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The original Tampa Stadium only had two sides. It didn't have the end zones.
Oh, there's some rental?
Yeah, you had 22,000 on each side, so it was a 44,000 capacity stadium. When you were playing on the field, you could see cars and buses and trucks going up and down Del Mabry. So when the Bucks came in 1976, which I went to their very first game, by the way, against Miami, preseason, they actually built the end zones, and then that made it up to 72,000 capacity. So it was a wonderful, wonderful place to be. The only problem was is that when you put the end zones in there, there wasn't any wind going through the stadium. It was just like brutally hot. I mean, really, really hot and uncomfortable. But you know, it's been a great ride, and it's been unbelievable to see how much the sport has grown in this country, and I think it will just continue to progress because it is, you know, I mean, a global sport, and people are starting to recognize America big time.
Well, you have been very instrumental in what's happened here in the Tampa St. Pete area. I know you're going to the game tonight. I think you said it's your daughter's birthday. You'll see the tribute to Neil Collins and enjoy it. And I always, you're more than welcome to come on down here, Tottenham Spur buddy, and have a pint with me and talk a little more soccer and have some fun. So you got an open invitation. You know that.
Thanks very much, Mike. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to speak to you.
All right. Have a great weekend. Have a great time tonight at the game. He's Mark Lindsay. Was the original. Isn't that cool? Tampa Bay Rowdies comes over. You know, you worked closely with the Negro Museum, and he's kind of a pioneer coming over here, and then going and playing in South Africa during apartheid. Can you imagine that?
Oh, it must have been unbelievable. I mean, when I've heard the stories from the Negro League players just here and the hell that they had to go through, I can only imagine over there in South Africa.
Well, Mark Lindsay, great guy. Hey, let's take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Brandy Winans in our Sea Dogs Brewery Ice Pick Vodka conversation with one of our authors. And, of course, she's speaker, president of the Tampa, said the Sports Club of Tampa. You name it, she's done it in the world of sports. She kind of parallels the godfather. Brandy Winans is the female godfather to Barry Smith's male godfather. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, live from the Clubhouse Studios, inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice Pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Tampa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm Mike Rickett alongside baseball Ben Botham, the former Savannah State sidewinder, Seminole High standout, and now you are a faculty member and, of course, a member of the coaching staff. Bravo. I'm proud of you, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Mike. Excited for the season coming up.
Well, I tell you what, we've talked this has been one of our typical variety shows. We started out with soccer. We had the Champions League, a little Roddy's conversation on Neil Collins moving on. And then, of course, we talked to the godfather of sports in Greater Tampa Bay, as I call him, Barry Smith. We talked about golf and had a great show. I tell you what, on the tee floor today was an absolute hoot. We had our two pros. We had a hack. We had some humor. And we had a producer in Tom Gribben. And this young lady, she was kind enough to step up to the plate when we launched this podcast. And it was early 2020, and her name is Brandi Winans. She's an accomplished author, speaker. She's now the president of the Sports Club of Tampa and telling all the men in the room what to do. And she's my friend, Brandi Winans. What's going on, dear?
You know, hey, how are you, Mike? It's good to be on the air and talk a little bit about some of the shenanigans that you and I have been involved in, of course.
Well, we probably can't say some of them on the air, but you have had your finger on the pulse of sports in this area. I grew up here, and you're just having the time of your life now, aren't you?
You know what? I really am. I am really blessed that I am the new president of the Sports Club of Tampa Bay. I had no idea when I was brought up from the vice presidency until my swearing in that I was actually only the second female president of in 62 years. So I have some really big shoes to fill, but I'm very excited, very humbled. And we started last year rebranding the Sports Club of Tampa Bay, and we are just on a roll right now. We had a sellout crowd at our annual, our 39th annual Hall of Fame dinner, June 7th at Pepin's Hospitality Center. And we are getting and already gearing up for June 5th of 2024 for our big 4-0 of our annual Hall of Fame inductions. And we try to focus, we're getting ready to do our nominations actually for that on the 12th, on Tuesday. But we've had a lot of changes, and we've been doing some more of the outside activities. We do a monthly guest speaker meeting over at Palmistia Country Club, and we started back over there last year where we had been with them in the past for many, many years. And we did our first smoker social at the Grand Cathedral on Florida Avenue over in Tampa. We're gearing up right now, August 22nd, for our second annual member guest social, which will be over at Palmistia again. And we're going to be having some of our most recent Hall of Fame inductees there, as well as we're gearing up for the February 19th, 2024, of our Leonard and George Levy Charity Golf Classic. We've gotten the infamous Gary Koch, who will be our honorary chairman for that. So we're just starting to gear up for all of those things, and then our Hall of Fame luncheon at the Columbia, September 18th. Anyone who's interested can certainly go online to sportsclubatampabay.org and check us out. Our membership is only $125 a year, and we're getting ready to gear up for our 63rd year.
Well, I tell you what, you're a lot better looking than Mark Donahue, and I didn't pull it. And I loved having Mark down here. His office was just down the street, and we'd talk. Of course, you can't have Mark Donahue on without talking Tampa Jesuit, and he'd always wear his hat and come down, and I'd have the teams down. But I'm looking forward.
Mark did an amazing job, and you know, just because I became the president, it's a team effort. We have our charity side and our club side. So Mark will still always be behind the scenes helping me, and it is a team effort for sure.
Well, I'm certain of that. But I tell you what, your golf tournament, now they got John Rager on board, and I got Tom Gribben, and I got a nice team. I've got a couple of pros. We will certainly be there supporting and streaming live on when you have your golf tournament this year. I don't remember what took place last year. I had planned on it, and something threw a curveball at us. But we will be there in person, making certain we provide some fun, and we've got some fundraising opportunities we can bring to the table for you as well.
That would be awesome. We actually, I only did a budget since it was in 62 years, our very first charity golf tournament with the Leonard twin brothers, who actually were responsible for bringing all the professional sports into Tampa Bay. And we did a memorial tournament because Leonard passed away last year. And I did a budget for 80 golfers, and we sold out at 150. And so we had three at Carrollwood. We used all three courses, and we were still back off the course just a little bit over 5 hours with 150 players. So we had a lot of fun, and yeah, I would love to have you. Tom Gribben is an old bud of mine as well, and of course John Rieger and I go way back as well with the NFL alumni. So you know, it's a small world, Mike.
I know it's not on this side of the bay, but I'm going to suggest, and we'll go to lunch. You come down here and see we now have our 19th hole clubhouse studios. We're up here perched up top Fergs, and we got two simulators. I've been kicking around, and I've been talking to several of my friends in other organizations. We should have a fundraiser up here and have some fun. You couldn't get the same kind of numbers, but it would be a nice place. It'd be a little change of pace that you come across the bay. I don't know, something just throw out there that maybe you might be interested in.
Well, funny you should mention that, because I've, you know, been on Facebook and seeing, I haven't been down to Ferg for a few, probably a month and a half. I'm just coming off of knee surgery, so I'm doing really good now. I'm back, not hobbling as much as I did a few weeks
ago. You've been on the IR.
I've been on the IR, but you know, it's age is just a number, baby. It's just a number. You know that. My brother from another mother, Barry Smith, right? It's just a number. You know, I can't begin to keep up with Barry Smith or Tom Gribben.
Well, we had both of them down here. They're my role models for perseverance and constant motion. So why don't you tell people one more time how they can get involved. I need to make sure I get you my 125, and we have a meeting down here and figure out some way to get us more involved in what's going on. Mark and I talked about it for about a year and a half, and I just, too many balls in the air. Now we're getting our arms around them. So tell people how they can get a hold of you, and the next time we have you on, we'll talk about your great books and your speaking talents. We'll get you on much more often. Why don't you tell them how we can get involved in the Sports Club of Tampa?
Yeah, and right now we're doing a new membership for $100 with $125 renewal the following year. So we're trying to, right now, Lou Maggio and I and Bo Cimino started our membership drive last August, and we've added another 50 new members. My goal this year is another 60 new members, so I can bring it up to 200 members. And you know, and get it rocking and rolling for our 40th annual Hall of Fame. You can just go to sportsclubofTampaBay.org, and you can see all of our. We've just got up our Hall of Fame video. It's about 8-9 minutes of highlighting what we did this year, You can see all of our Hall of Fame people, inductees, throughout, you know, pretty much anybody that's a who's who, from Phil Esposito to Derek Brooks to John Lynch, on our Hall of Fame induction group. This past year we had Dexter Jackson, Nardi Contreras, and a few more. We had Rick Peckham with the Lightning, and Steve DeBerg, another good former quarterback with the Buccaneer, another good bud of mine. So we are looking forward to it. And Mike, I just want to congratulate you on the amazing job that you've done here with the Sports Connection.
Well, you were one of the pioneers, dear. We're going to keep rocking and rolling. We'll work together now. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. She's Brandi Winans. Google her. You did, Ben. The work that she's done on behalf of NFL players and CTE and all the obstacles that these poor people have had in their fight against the NFL. It's riveting stuff. And it's sad but true. And it's something that you would certainly enjoy.
Thank you. Yeah, you can just Google me, Brandi Winans. You can pull up everything that we've been doing to be able to help others like you, Mike. And I love you, buddy.
All right. You too, dear. Have a great weekend. Pretty cool stuff, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. Very cool stuff. She's got great reviews on Amazon. It looks like you can pick up her book right now for a couple bucks. Great story. Flip Side of Glory, I believe.
That's it. Flip Side of Glory. Let's take a break, come back, and we're going to talk about kids that want to be on the side of glory. We're going to talk Florida high school football with Josh Wilson. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront, ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Yeah. Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. Ben Baseball Botham sitting next to me. And, of course, I'm Mike Rickard. Each and every Saturday from noon to 2, we bring you a fresh and a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros. Brought to you today by our good friends at Body Armor and Coca-Cola Beverages. And you got a little tidbit there for I throw Josh on?
Sure, yeah. Well, I don't know if you saw this, Mike, but your Cubbies, they finally did it.
They in Yankee Stadium.
The Yankees at Yankee Stadium.
And you know, I work for the Cubs, but I grew up a Yankees fan. But I was ecstatic that my Cubbies went into New York and finally came out with a victory. I was stunned at that factoid.
Well, I think they've only played about 12 times.
12 times, in, yeah, 12.
100 so years that they both existed.
Which is bizarre. All right, well, let's shift gears because we know we're going to put a lot of energy into high school football, high school sports, with our Prep Connection and our streaming channel, FloridaSportsStream.com. And the key is to put yourself in position with alliances of guys that have their finger on the pulse, have a passion for high school sports and football. And Josh Wilson is just one of those guys. And we are pleased to announce our collaboration. And he's joining me right now. What's going on, Josh?
It's going. It's hard to believe that high school football is going to be here before. No, football season in general. I mean, talk about summer going by quick. It seems like it goes by quicker every year.
Well, I'm an old man, buddy, and I tell you what, it's a speed of light. I don't move at the speed of light, but it certainly does the calendar. So we, in fact, we are right now 21 days away, 3 weeks away from what we are going to put together with your guidance and your expertise. We're going to have the Pinellas County Media Days right down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, and I'm ecstatic about it. We got involved last year, but we wanted to pioneer our own event with my relationship, Mark Ferguson, and I, knowing what a great job that you guys and Dan have done in the past. I am ecstatic about putting this together. Talk a little bit about what your plans are and how we're going to facilitate this and with the teams.
Well, you know, the biggest thing is starting with the coaches. So they should be getting, if they haven't looked at their inboxes, they need to go look at their inboxes for an email going out to them here. And, you know, with the thing to sign up, get signed up, because that's going to be an important thing. We need all the teams. We were about like 24 programs in Pinellas County. It doesn't sound like a lot, you know, Pinellas County being a big county as it is, but still, you know, get all the teams to come down to Ferg's on Saturday, July 29th. And I mean, you talk about, you know, getting all the teams there just in Pinellas County. You know, there's a lot of great football in Pinellas County. I mean, you talk about, hey, Clearwater Central Catholic that played in the 1S state championship, 1M state championship, excuse me, this past year. So, you know, and they're going to be really good again. I just saw their schedule. So, you know, like Clearwater Central Catholic, they're going to be one of those top teams to watch. And I mean, you talk about other teams that are in that area, you know, St. Petersburg shows an improvement last year. You know, you look at like teams like Eastlake, you know, got to the regional finals, you know. There's programs in Pinellas County that, you know, have really shaped. And, it's their time. It's their time to get the exposure and to get. And it's just, you know, not just to being, hey, you know, live on your show, but being able to talk to other media outlets that, you know, are across the Tampa Bay region. And, of course, there's ones that are from this around the state that, you know, like the Rival 247 guys that, you know, hey, some of these top prospects that are in Pinellas County. There's great football over Florida, and Pinellas County is no stranger to that.
Well, you know, and Coach Moore at Lakewood, one thing that I absolutely embrace about him is he goes down and plays these teams in Dade County, getting his teams ready for battle in Pinellas County. And people that don't follow the sport as closely as you, or even I'm getting to that point, we know what he's doing. He's getting his teams for that run in Pinellas County and playing the best of the best. Sometimes that can blow up in your face. Is that correct, Josh, or do you think that's a good strategy?
Actually, with the way you have Metro Suburban Rural now, with the way the classifications are set, now we're going into year two of the Metro Suburban plan from the Florida High School Athletic Association. Really, and I say even more so now with not only that, but with the fact of the way the max, with the way they're using the FHA power ranking, which is through part of the max preps, you really can't. You've got to step outside your comfort zone a little bit, and that means stepping outside of Pinellas County, trying to get a team, you know, a team from the other side, you know, from the other side of the Bay, or getting a team from a different corner of the state, because at some point, especially if you're going to play for a state championship, especially like a Lakewood, I'll put Lakewood as an instance there, you know, the, you know, state semifinals and all that. Well, you know, hey, if you're going to do from a state semifinal, well, you're going to end up playing somebody from Southwater. You're going to end up playing somebody from Jacksonville or somebody from Orlando if you're going to play in the state semifinals because of the way they redid the teams. So, you really have got to be able to have that, you know, hey, I need one or two games outside of here so my guys don't get complacent with playing just the teams from my own backyard, because if I get complacent, who knows what's going to happen come playoff time. You have to be playoff ready, and that starts in the regular season, and it's even more so imperative that you figure out a way to schedule teams that are just not teams that you're not going to just, you know, somebody from that region, somebody from that area, because that way you get an understanding of their style of football, because what happens in South Florida is not necessarily what happens in Tampa Bay or not necessarily what happens in Orlando. So you have to be ready, because at any given moment, at any given day, any team can beat you, especially in the playoffs.
Well, and you know, you take a look at, we'll just use Lakewood again as an example. They went, I think they played Miami Central last year, didn't they?
I believe that the Miami Central, I know that I want to say the year before that it was Cardinal Gibbons. So you have to be able to be ready for those kind of guys, like a Miami Central, Cardinal Gibbons, or a Plantation American Heritage. You've got to play somebody from that region, especially if it's in your own classification. Maybe it's not even your own classification, but somebody in that region that, you know, is playing that strong, especially if you're going to know that you may face them in the state semifinals, or better yet, get to the state championship game. You got to be ready for that. If you're not ready for that, it's going to be a long night. And I've seen it time and time again. And, you know, and I think that, you know, Lakewood, it serves their advantage to play in those kind of games. And, you know, Eastlake, you know, I see they've kind of branched out a little bit too. So, you know, if the teams are willing to branch out and, like, clear a spot or two on their schedule for a team that's not in the region, you know, hey, you're doing yourself a service for those guys. When you don't do that, if you reach the playoffs and you want to make a deep run, you may not be ready for that if you haven't done that.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We're talking to Josh Wilson from FloridaHighSchoolFootball.com. He's going to partner up with us as we provide you with expanded high school coverage each and every week. We're going to have a high school show with our own Brad Richardson, and that will be on FloridaSportsStream.com. And with that particular production, we're going to do the boys and girls sports across Pinellas County, Champa Bay, if you will, Hillsborough, and Pasco. And I'm looking forward to that. How many teams, Josh, and I shouldn't just throw any of this curve, how many teams in the state of Florida are there? Because you to some degree, have your finger on the pulse for all of them with your FloridaHighSchoolFootball.com.
Well, it's about close to 600 teams, and we're not 600 teams.
Wow. Between 11
football and 8-man football, which Sunshine, the State Athletic Conference, has got the 8-man stuff. And I'll tell you what, there's definitely a lot there. You know, there's a lot going on, and sometimes, you know, some teams are going to take a higher priority than others, but keeping a pulse of what's going on in the districts, because at the end of the day, the district standings and what's going on in the regions, those are the biggest things, because if you're not following that, then you don't know what's going to maybe line up for the playoffs, especially the fact that now they go a true seeding order, and then they, you know, 1-8 were based upon the standings. You know, you're guaranteed a playoff spot only as a district champ. Only you're guaranteed that playoff spot. You're not guaranteed a whole game of the playoffs anymore as a district champ. But, you know, what happened last year with the changes that were made going to a true seeding order and putting it to where, you know, the bigger focus on these teams, we saw the margin of victory actually decrease to where it actually is more, it's a more respectful number in the margin of victory, of the average margin of victory in the games. That means the games are being more competitive, which is huge, because you need that right now. You've got to have that, especially the way football is ever evolving, the way the sport is just the evolution of high school football is just keeps turning, and it's coming around. And I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, you know, these teams, you know, they have to be ready. They have to be prepared. And that's important. Again, going back to what we talked about, you know, you've got to play teams from outside your region. You've got to be prepared, because when it comes to playoff time, you don't know who you're going to face. You don't know who you're going to see. And this plays right into it right there. So, you know, nearly 600 teams every year, it can be a challenge, but it's fun, because you get to see what's happening across the state. And in a great state like ours, where, you know, we're the third largest state in the United States, and, you know, hey, we have almost 600 football teams. Hey, we're going to see what happens. And everybody gets a fresh slate to start the season every school year. Start the season at 0-0, let everybody have that, and see who comes out on top of it in December for the state championship.
couple of things while we wind things down here with Josh Wilson from FloridaHighSchoolFootball.com. Number one, how do people, how do the coaches reach out to you in the event they're listening to the show, which a lot of them do, to attend the Pinellas County on the 29th of July down here at Ferg's Barn Grill?
They can one check their emails for the email that you know that's been that's headed their way. And two, reach out to me if thing, Twitter, FLIHS football. That's a big place where you can reach at me. A lot of the coaches follow me there, so they can just shoot me a message there, and I will work with them, and that way they can get in contact with me, so that way I can give them everything they need and make sure that they get to the form to fill out the information. It's a basic form. It shouldn't take no more 5-10 minutes to put in the information with, you know, basic information about your team and the five players that you're going to bring with you. So that way we can get that information, and that way we have a printout, you know, before media day, the printout of, you know, who's coming, you know, so that way not only for you, Mike, but for myself and for all the rest of the media. Hey, who's coming? What time they're coming? You know, and you know what's the tentative expectant list of the players that are coming? And we know that sometimes can change on the day of because someone gets sick or someone gets hurt or vice versa or something happens. But the media will have a general idea of who's coming, what, and who they're potentially going to be able to talk to.
All right, my man. I'll talk to you on Monday. We got a lot of planning. 3 weeks away from down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and FloridaHighSchoolFootball.com. We're partnering together with Josh Wilson. We're going to have Pinellas County Media Day down here, Ben Botham. 5 hours of conversation. There's no baseball across the street at the Trop, and I look forward to building upon this, and we'll be doing something all season long with you, Josh. Have a great rest of your weekend, brother, and I'm ecstatic about this.
Oh, I'm excited as well. So this will be a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Have a great weekend. Well, Ben Botham, you better, like I said, I call you Baseball Ben Botham. You coach baseball, but you're going to have to get that pigskin down because it's going to be exciting down here, bringing all these high school teams down here and future collegiate.
Yeah, I can definitely roll with the football. Football is something I can get into, that and hockey. You try and get me into basketball and soccer, though, I'm lost, but a contest and a sport that I am interested in, though, Mike, is the hot dog eating contest.
Oh, God, I knew you were going to go there, Joey Chestnut. I thought maybe we could go one show without you bringing up some ignorant.
Mike.
It's not a sport.
Mike, he's one of the greatest athletes to ever live. You'll never see somebody.
Joey Chestnut.
Put up the numbers that he did. He had a 62-point game.
Hey, Aaron, I got to ask you. We're live on the air. Carter, is Joey Chestnut an athlete, the hot dog slamming guy?
Absolutely.
He's not an athlete.
Mike, you got to get in touch here. He just had his 16th belt. He got his 16th belt, Mike. Nobody's ever done something like that.
We're smashing food down your pie hole.
62 of them, Mike. And even in the women's division, we actually had a local win the contest, Mike. It was Miki Sudu of Port Richey won her 9th women's title by forcing down 39 and a half.
I watched hot dogs. I was going to have hot dogs that night, and I watched it, and I thought I was going to throw up. No hot dogs for me. But I knew you were going to ask that question. Hey, on a positive note, remember when you brought up the we got a few moments. You brought up the spelling champ?
Oh, yeah, the spelling champ.
Well, guess
right
what?
Here in town.
His mother is a doctor, and my girlfriend's doctor, and she was talking about it, and I said to Terry, did you know what Ben did the other day? We were talking about... You said this is still Champa Bay because we have the spelling champion. We're going to have the spelling champ right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and he's going to baffle you and bamboozle you.
He's going to embarrass
you. He's going to embarrass you. I was one letter off, remember, correctly spelling that.
You were pretty close, Mike. I could barely spell refrigerator.
All right. It's been a great 2 hours. Roddy Soccer, Jim Hart, Mark Lindsay, Brandy Winans, Josh Wilson, Joe Bergo, Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wish you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.